We're talking digital cameras now and using your digital camera. Maybe you've got a new one, or maybe you've got one you've had a little while and still are not completely familiar with how it works. Jack Zosia, our guest today. Jack's from Spring Grove, Minnesota. He's taught photography at Western Technical College in La Crosse in the Lifelong Learning Program. Created a mixed media CD. It's called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And he's written articles for Shutterbug and eDigital Photo and Imaging. So we're really pleased to have Jack back. And certainly if you have questions about digital cameras, maybe you want to buy one. Maybe you've got some questions about the one you've got. What about taking those pictures and getting the best shots? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Jack Zosia with us by phone. Jack, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us once again.
Thank you for having me on. I apologize. I'm not in my normal studio today. I'm doing some media work, putting together a multimedia presentation for the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is in La Crosse, mm-hmm. and there's some construction going on outside of my office. So if you're a loud bang, it's not me.
Okay. Oh, man. How easy is it to work digital photos into something like that?
I'm quite amazed. Now, I'll put a plug in here for a product that I bought, but there are other ones as well. There's a company called Roxio, R-O-X-I-O, that makes something called Easy CD DVD Creator. It's around $95 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what I did was I recorded some, I'm working on a little DVD that talks about pilgrimages to this shrine.
Yeah.
And I've gathered up a whole bunch of photographs, and you just drop them into place, and then you drop in these little transitions between them, little fade-ins, fades-out, and
yeah.
you can specify how long the picture stays on the screen, and even add a little bit of motion or zooming if you want to. And then, assuming you've got your audio spaced properly, and so it matches the pictures, you drop that into place. And after you like it, you burn it to a DVD, and it plays on a TV set.
Oh, man.
I don't want to give away my secret. Now, folks think I'm going to be overcharging. but I quite frankly, I was very surprised. And you can also drop in videos from digital video cameras, or even the videos that you can take with your still camera. But I was amazed at what's happened in the past few years. This happens to be for Roxio. There are other companies that make similar products as well, but this one's worked for me.
All right. Well, Cynthia, I think, has a question that relates kind of to it, to this, from Cynthia from Sun Prairie. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble. I have a Kodak EasyShare, and I'm having trouble when I take the video, everything off of my memory card, and put it on my EasyShare on my computer. I'm having a problem getting my videos onto a disk.
Okay, now these videos, do you know what format that is saving them in? There's different movie formats. There's AVI, there's a compressed one called MPEG. You're having trouble getting them onto a CD?
Onto a disk, or what kind of disk I'm supposed to get those onto. I can't even figure out where to look on the internet
to figure out how to do it. Are you trying to play it on a DVD player on your TV?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, you know, like I'm saving my pictures on these DVDs or CDs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just trying to figure out how to save those videos on there to watch later, and I just can't.
There's a couple of different things. Number one is you have to first decide whether you just want to save them onto a CD so you can watch them on your computer, or whether you want to convert them into a DVD that you could watch with a DVD player, you know, at somebody's house.
On a television.
On a TV set.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
if you just want to save them, you should be able to, for example, if they're on a folder on your hard drive and you've got a blank CD stuck in your CD drawer there, you should be able to right-click on those folders, and up will come a little menu, and that one of the choices will be Send To. And one of the places you can send to is your CD drive.
Okay. And when you do that... I've tried that. It just doesn't seem to... It'll take my pictures. It won't take my videos on there.
That's pretty strange. I've never run across that. Are you sure these are actually the files themselves and not just shortcuts that are being transferred over. One way you can tell would be, once again, to right-click on them and see how big they are. If they're just little, short little files, then they are not really the actual file, but just some kind of a thumbnail or something.
Okay.
That would be the first thing. Now, the other thing you can do, and you may have some software on your computer already, is programs, for example, like the one I just mentioned, this Roxio Easy CD DVD Creator, will also copy files as data if you just want to save them as a file. But if you want to make an actual DVD that you can watch on a TV set someplace else, the people like Roxio have this program that will allow you to actually just drop in the files, and it creates a DVD that will play just like a movie.
Okay.
And then you can
because
put in titles.
What do most people do to save their photos and videos? Do they put them send them somewhere else, some kind of lockbox out in the internet somewhere? Or
no,
do they...
don't do that. I would try to burn them onto a CD or a DVD and store it in a safe place at this point.
Okay.
And I would save them as the original unedited file. You can always go back and reclaim them and make a new movie later on. But if you make them into a movie and something happens and you haven't got your original files, then you're stuck.
Yeah. Okay.
But take a look and see if you have some kind of a program on your computer to copy the files. If it's not copying them, that's unusual. Because generally, as far as the computer is concerned, they're just files. It doesn't know if they're movies or pictures or audio or a document. They're just files.
Okay.
So there's something that's not being done right. I'm not sure what it is.
Nope. It's probably the user.
What's the old saying about TIPCAC, problem between chair and computer?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
Thanks, Cynthia, for calling. Oh, man. Rita in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Thank you. I have a very generous husband who, I would say, over-gifted me with a Canon PowerShot S217. Are you familiar with that camera?
I'm familiar with most of the Canon PowerShots. They're very nice cameras.
Yes.
They have a lot of buttons.
Well, it's a little heavier and larger than I really want to take on vacations.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried to use the zoom, and I'm probably doing it wrong. This camera is more complicated than my mind is. I think it would do everything except my laundry, but I'm just not there, and I would like you to recommend a little simpler camera, smaller, but I do want a zoom capability.
Right. Now, there's a couple of things. Unfortunately, the camera industry has not figured out yet that most folks don't want all the buttons, and I'm yelling at them about that. When you say you want a zoom, what kind of pictures are you planning on taking?
Well, in a theater, a play, high school plays, a stage type of thing.
Okay, you're going to need to have a little learning curve going on because a lot of times people want an extremely simple camera, but they want it to do extremely complex things.
Yeah.
Shooting sporting events and fast action and eagles up in nests, and in your case, you want live on stage things. You probably can get by with a little bit smaller one, and Canon does make some smaller ones than the ones you have. By all means, there's many, many digital cameras now in the, I would say, $100 to $150 range that have reduced the number of features considerably. Less buttons, less choices, and all that. But at the same time, they're less flexible.
Yeah.
And for what you're doing, if you're going to have a situation where they are illuminated on a stage and everything else around them is black, you're going to need to have to do some adjusting to that camera. And so you might actually...
You're better off with a Canon S.
Yeah.
217 for sure.
All right, yeah. But what about a camera then that one could take on vacation and put in a small purse? I mean, this needs a bag.
There are dozens and dozens of those from companies ranging from Kodak to Sanyo to Canon to Sony, between $100 and $200.
Okay,
and they're generally automatic. They have a short zoom. Don't expect to shoot an eagle down, you know, from a nest someplace with it. But they're quite good for that, and they're all over the place in that range of. I'm thinking between $100 and $200.
What about the pixels and so forth for those cameras, Jack?
I was amazed. I saw some cameras on sale. There were 7 megapixels. They were $75.
Yeah.
It's astounding. And the quality isn't too bad. Now, you're not going to get the absolute first-rate lens that you would get with a much more expensive Canon or one of the Sonys with the Schneider lenses or something like that. But for the average snapshot, I've got one I picked up, and as a matter of fact, I'm using some of the snapshots I took in this presentation I'm working on right now. So, I mean, I've got things shot here with a $1,000 camera and a $75 camera. A lot of times, if you're watching it on the screen, it is not as critical. But if you're making prints, that's where you really begin to see the difference.
Yeah. So you don't recommend any particular camera. It's kind of more or less what the person...
Yeah, I lean towards a couple of... I tend to lean towards the camera manufacturer brands, that is supposed to say the office supply brands.
Yeah.
Which would give you the Canons and the Sonys and the Kodaks and the Olympuses and things like that.
Nikons,
of course, yeah. I tend to lean towards them. That's personal preference.
Okay. So there you have it, Rita, somewhere between $100 and $200.
All right, thank you.
And a pocket-sized camera.
But
right.
Now, Jack, what about this? Would this CD that you've put together, How to Use Digital Camera You Just Bought, would that be of help to Rita?
Yeah, it would. It explains a lot of the basics. Part of the problem is that this is all new technology, new terminology, pixels and megapixels and digital zoom and regular zoom and all that. And what we've done with the CD is we've tried to sort this all out, and we actually have things you must know about the camera and things you don't have to worry about. It's based on teaching the same class for about 3 or 4 years now, and we think we've really nailed it on the head. So if you're interested, you can go to my site and read about it at acpress.com, or you can just call and ask. It's 800-647-8273. It's a $12.95 disc plus shipping, and it plays in your computer, and it's mostly me talking with a lot of illustrations.
Yeah. But, taking a picture at a play, for example.
It talks about some of the critical controls. Most of these cameras have what they call a exposure compensation setting. That's a plus-minus button. And usually you have to take the camera off fully automatic and put it onto what they call program to find this thing. But it will allow you to add or subtract exposure to adjust for that person in the spotlight. And virtually all digital cameras, even the $75 ones, have that feature, but you got to find it.
Got to find it. Okay. So acpress.com or 800-647-8273.
Right. The CD is called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought.
All right. That might work for Rita. Deborah, right. Deborah in Neillsville, it's your turn. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I understand the previous caller's frustration. I have that also, but that's not why I called. I called to ask, I have Roxia, I have Microsoft Digital Library, I have HP Pictures. I need to download my pictures to a CD, and I get it into those, all of those, and when it goes to, for me to copy it to the CD, it says this CD is not writable. And I put it on CDRs and CDRWs, and I've tried it on DVDs, and I can't get any of them.
Again, this is getting more into a computer problem. It could be a problem with your actual CD drive having a problem.
Okay.
I would not suggest using rewritable discs for storage of your photos and movies because there could be a slight incompatibility between that particular writer and somebody else's computer. But if you save it to a CD or a DVD, the right once kind, those tend to be more compatible. There could be some setting on your computer that is incorrect, and I can't diagnose that one. I would save that for your InfoStar guy.
Peter Green.
Well, no, actually, fortunately, I have Dell, and I have a warranty, and I will call them, and I'll have them correct it for me.
There you go.
There you go.
It's
a computer issue. Thanks, Deb. Good luck. Our guest today, Jack Socha of Spring Grove, Minnesota. He has taught photography for a long time at Western Technical College in La Crosse, written and created a mixed-media CD. It's called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, and he's written articles for Shutterbug and eDigital Photo and Imaging, and knows a lot about digital cameras and how to take good pictures. So give us a call at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking digital photography, digital cameras with Jack Socha, our guest today, an expert in this field, and certainly lots of people online, Jack. So we'll go right to the phones again and to Bev in Rhinelander, I believe. Hi, Bev.
Hi. I have a question. I just bought a new camera, and it's got one big screen, viewing screen, and I've always just used the viewfinder.
Yeah.
And all I'm getting is, or a lot of times, is my reflection back. And I'm just wondering if there's a way to work it better, because I get a picture in view, and all I'm getting is my reflection back and not the picture of what I want to take.
So a lot of glare when you're outside.
Yeah, that's a continuing problem, and it really is something that the industry hasn't fully addressed. There are some new viewfinders that work better outside, but still they're tough. If you go to any well-stocked camera store, and some of the variety stores, or go online, there are these reflectors, these little shades that you can buy that either Velcro or literally stick on the back of the camera. You got to get the one that fits the size of your screen. And it, number one, it folds out just like an old-fashioned view camera, providing three sides around the screen that would shade it. And then when you're not using it, it folds up, and it protects the screen from getting hit. Now, why they don't put these on the camera to begin with, I don't know. But there are several companies that are making these, and if you do a little search for them on the Internet or, as I say, go to any well-stocked store, you should be able to find them. And again, the only problem is that they either stick on with little Velcro strips you've got to put on, or you have to stick them on permanently. Very few just snap on.
That's
really about your only choice, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but they can work pretty well.
They work beautifully. You know, back in the old days of view cameras, they used to put that big sheet over their head. And, of course, that's kind of dumb to be doing now, but that would work, too.
All right. Judy in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just found a nice camera that I thought everybody would like. We did a lot of research on it, and I wanted something small that could fit in my purse, but I went into optical, large optical, and I got 10X optical, 40X digital. The optical, it's a Canon PowerShot SX100. And at my son's high school graduation, I took pictures in the La Crosse Center. I was way in the back, and I got him up on stage. Excellent.
So it's a Canon SX100.
Yes.
And the 10X optical is good. Most of your consumer cameras are only about 3X. Now, what that means is that from the widest part to the most telephoto, it's three times closer. In your case, it's 10 times closer, which is really good. The digital part we tend to discount because that's just cropping the picture in the camera. You can do that on your computer and get the same effect. But the 10X optical is very good. And now that cameras have a higher megapixel resolution, it is possible to crop away and get to the center of the picture. You're still going to lose quality, but since you've got a larger picture to begin with, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah. What did you pay for that, Judy?
Well, it was $250 at the local Best Buy, and I went online and found the exact same camera for $210.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Oh. Thanks, Judy.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. Canon SX100. Fritz in Fish Creek, your turn. Hi, Fritz.
Hello. I'm wondering, there's Panasonic, Sony, Canon, Nikon, all these different makes, all features being the same, which one has better electronics, better lens quality?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good question. There's two separate parts to that, the electronics and the lens quality. I have found, once again, that the camera companies tend to do a little better job. Now, there are certain companies, Nikon, Canon and Sony is using a lot of German design lenses that are really pushing lens quality, and you'll pay a little bit more for them, but they are extremely good lenses. Some of the lesser brands, some of the ones that were being sold with office supply type names or office equipment names, they have good all-purpose lenses that are on them, but they're not tack sharp like some of the better ones are. You'll pay a bit more for that. As far as the electronics are concerned, most of these cameras have the same chip on the inside, and the circuitry is very, very similar. You should look at little things, though, like, for example, the little battery door that opens up, the hinges, are they made of plastic or are they made of metal?
Ah.
because I have seen more cameras with broken battery doors because the little pins that are made on the end of each side, the hinges, were plastic and they just snapped off.
You see a lot of cameras, and in fact, we have one of those with a little piece of tape.
Yeah.
Over the top.
You'd think they would spend the extra 10 cents and put in a metal pin. But those are little things you should look into. And basically, like I say, is the back screen recessed? Some of the Canons, the screen pulls out and swings around, and when you're not using it, it folds flat with the face facing in, which I think is really cool. So it's not a question where you can just say, this brand is the best, but certain brands, I'm impressed with some of the lenses on the Sonys. Olympus has some very good lenses, but I wouldn't simply say just only buy one or the other, because they change from model to model.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Fritz, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's see, Jim. You are up next in Bayfield County. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I have a software question. I have quite a few slides on my computer, and I have it set up so that the slides are the screensaver, so that they rotate through. When you're not using your computer, the slides rotate through, and it's just kind of a nice feature. This weekend I was at a conference, and I noticed that two of the speakers at different sessions in this conference had the same thing, except the difference was there when their slides would come up, instead of the slide just being there kind of static, it would slowly zoom in on the slide or sometimes pan across that slide. And I'm wondering if you can tell me where I can find that software.
That doesn't ring a bell at this moment. However, slideshow software is extremely common. And if you do a little research on the Internet, look for I'm a big fan of what they call freeware, which means it's software that doesn't have any price. There's no connections. There's no ads built into it. It's just free, and you can have it. There probably is a freeware slideshow screensaver that has dissolves and zooms. And what they've probably done is they call it transitions between each slide. They probably have set the program to what they call randomize the transitions, where it'll do different effects. But before you go out and spend a bunch of money for one of those, they're extremely common programs. Just go onto the Internet, do a search for freeware, and it would be a freeware slideshow.
Okay.
So that, and you'll probably find it. Also, on our site, acpress.com, there is a list of about half a dozen free editing programs, and I know at least one of them, called Earfun View, does slideshows as well that play. And you may want to take a look at those, although I don't recall whether it does the sliding transitions and all that. But I'm suspecting that is something that's being done randomly as opposed to having them actually programmed all of it. But you should be able to find one for free.
I appreciate your help.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And your website again is acpress.com?
Yes, acpress.com.
And you actually have quite a few freeware kinds of things on that site.
I'm cheap. when I had a syndicated computer show for several years, and I got used to having that UPS truck show up every day with free samples. And when that stopped, boy, it was like withdrawal. But I discovered that there is a gigantic world of free software out there. And if you simply go on the Internet and do a search, you'll find websites that have 100% free software or only free software. This is opposed to the free trial, the free download, the free demo. And almost anything you can think of can be found for free. And there's a ton of it for image editing, just an absolute ton of it.
Linda in Oconomowoc is up next. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I am one of the legions of women who don't get it. my biggest problem right now, and I have two. One is that a friend helped me put my Africa pictures into Photoshop, and instead of having one file with all my pictures, each picture has a separate file. How do I get that into one file?
Oh, so basically they have every picture is in its own folder?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you got to do a lot of copying and pasting.
Yeah.
However, if you go to my site, acpress.com,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a look at the, there's a program there with a funny name, Irfan View. It's named after a Bosnian student who used to study in Vienna named Irfan Skiljan. It's one of the most popular free programs on the Internet. I use it constantly. You can set it up so that you can look at thumbnails of all your pictures, and then by pressing essentially one key, it will copy that picture into whatever folder you have pre-designated.
Oh, what is the name of that?
Well, it's called Irfan View, and you can just go to irfanview.com. It's IRFANVIEW.com. And it's the thumbnail feature that will let you sort pictures out.
Okay.
And I use it. I had a recent assignment where I had to go through 5 years of photos and pick out certain ones and put them into one presentation. And I use that to go through them in very quick order. But take a look at it. You may have to look at the instructions a little bit on the website, but that would do the job for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Sure. Yep,
thanks a lot for calling. Andy in Butternut, you are next. Hi, Andy.
Hello there. I've got a question about point-and-shoots. I have a Fuji FinePix, and it's my first digital. I've been using it for 2 or 3 years. It's got a 10-power zoom. I've gotten some quite amazing pictures of wildlife and things like that, flowers. We live out in the country. Now I'm just frustrated with the power of the zoom, and we've been looking out there in the Internet, and we see there's some cameras. There's in the point-and-shoots, there is an Olympus 570 that has a 20 zoom, a Fuji FinePix 8100 that has an 18 zoom, and I'm wondering if I want to just stick with a point-and-shoot at these higher-power zooms. Am I going to get a decent quality?
Okay, a couple of things to double-check. number one, when they list the zoom, make sure it's 100% optical.
Yes.
No digital. This comes up quite a bit because the opposite choice is, do I want to buy a point-and-shoot with a real long zoom, or do I want to buy the equivalent of a single-lens reflex with removable lenses and put a big, long zoom on it?
Yes. No, and, I don't.
Yeah. Most people don't want to because they want to carry it around.
Right.
You will notice, though, that the response time on the point-and-shoot will not be as quick as on the single-lens reflex.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, the lens itself, by the time you zoom out that far, the aperture will not be as big, which means not as much light will come through, which means the shutter will not be as quick.
And you better have a steady hand.
Yeah, you better have a steady hand. That's the thing, is when you zoom something out to 20 times the original size, it also magnifies the shake.
Oh, even though these are saying they do have stabilizers in them zero blur.
Yeah. But see, it doesn't stabilize the running of the critter. It only stabilizes the camera. And also, when you do look at the image stabilization, two things. There are two kinds. There's one called optical image stabilization and one called digital image stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that's real is optical. The digital one simply raises the sensitivity of the camera to give it a faster shutter speed.
Ah.
And you can do that yourself.
Okay.
But having said that, some of those lenses, especially the Olympus ones, they specialize in very, very long lenses, and they are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to spend the rather large amount of money to do wildlife photography, then that might not be a bad choice. But I will tell you that the conventional wisdom is if you want to go shoot wildlife, you have to go full boat and buy the big camera and the big lenses.
Yeah. Now, ours, where we are, I'm getting foxes and deer and folks that are kind of, they're not on the move that much.
But if you're getting good results with the Fuji and you just get another point and shoot with a longer lens, you should be fine.
Okay,
you might want
to
buy a tripod or a monopod, though. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, one of those little tripods, monopods or whatever, and they work pretty nice. And, they don't take up any, you can stick them in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to buy a tripod so big that you don't bring it with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't do you any good in the closet.
Exactly. But, you set it on the car hood or whatever, and you can get a pretty stable shot. Jake in Waiawiga is up next. Hi, Jake.
Good morning. My question concerns the newer models of Olympus cameras that are waterproof, shockproof, and crushproof. I was wondering, number one, are any other manufacturers thinking about following suit with similar types of cameras that you know of? And number two, if I were to buy one of these, what are the downsides of something like that?
Usually the biggest downside is cost. They're more expensive. Number two is that if it's anything like the waterproof film cameras, they frequently had rubber O-rings or something where all the little doors were, and you had to make sure that those things were kept properly positioned and they didn't dry out and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you're going to get a little larger size, a little more weight, Maybe the controls may be a little bit more difficult to reach. There are weatherproof cameras, which, and again, you know, you got to really read the fine print to see whether they're weather resistant or weatherproof. There are very few, for example, underwater digital cameras. Most cases, you go buy an Icolite housing and put it inside the housing. Are you planning on taking it underwater, or what are you planning on doing with it?
Well, I do a lot of fishing where it may get dropped in the water, not intentionally to take underwater pictures, and a lot of hunting in inclement weather. So just looking for something that's going to stand up to that.
That might be a wise choice for you, because basically what they're doing is they're making them ruggedized. They're making them less delicate than the other ones. And at this point, they sound like they are really using that as a main sales thing, so I suspect they may be the best choice. Most of these cameras do not like being dropped.
No.
They just fly, and I've broken a few with a very, very short distance. So if you're going to be using it in those kind of conditions, that may be your best choice. I'm not aware of any other brands at this moment. If you were to go to one of the websites that's very reliable, such as Steve's Digicams, you might find some other ones.
All right.
Okay.
To compare.
Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Paul in Grafton is up next. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a fairly technical question on a particular camera, so I don't know if this is up your alley or not, but I'm looking at the Sony A700 digital SLR.
Okay.
And I know that they say it has image stabilization built into the body.
Yeah.
The lenses. And my question, I've had very little luck getting Sony to answer this, is I know that camera takes the old Maxim AF lenses as well as the Sony lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if the image stabilization works with the older Maxim AF lenses?
My first thing is no, I don't. See, Sony purchased Minolta. Minolta made Maxims. If it's in the body, you would think that there's a good chance that it would, that it shouldn't have to interact with the lens. But on the other hand, there may be one little connection on the new lenses that aren't on the old ones. If you can find one in a store on display, I would simply bring in your older Maxim lens, put it on, and see if it works. Or just try to take a look at the instruction manual, if they let you look at it, and see if there are any asterisks after, you know, them stating what it does.
Okay.
I can't give you a definitive answer today. If it's in the body, one would think that they wouldn't be advertising it that way unless that was an advantage.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Paul.
That makes sense. I just didn't want to assume that was true.
I wouldn't assume it either, because, you know, it's amazing. What may happen is that you may get image stabilization, but it may not work in all the modes. I mean, there's all kinds of variations that you have to look into. I would try to find a full-service camera store that has the camera and bring the lenses in with you and try it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Marilyn in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I make jewelry, and I have a problem with I try to use the macro part of my camera, and I can never get a clear picture. It's always, you know, blurry or fuzzy. So I'm wondering, is there a certain type of point-and-shoot camera I can get that I can get a clear macro picture?
It sounds like what's going on is that the macro that you have on the camera isn't quite focusing close enough.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of things you could theoretically go buy another camera.
Yeah.
Does your camera have a filter thread on the front? Can you screw anything onto the front of the lens, or does it retract back into the body completely?
It retracts back into the body.
There are these little things you can buy in camera stores called diopters that will let you get even closer. You would not be able to put it on the camera and mount it permanently, but if you were to go to a camera store and buy a set of these, there's three of them. They may cost $25 for all three. If you were to hold that in front of the lens, it would let you get even closer. But you know what you ought to try?
What?
Magnifying glass.
Really?
Yep, place a magnifying glass. I did an article for one of the photo magazines some years ago, and I shot a picture of a cicada where I held a magnifying glass. I had the camera set on macro and held a magnifying glass in front of the lens, and that bug filled the entire screen. It looked creepy.
Oh, okay, great.
So before you know, a lot of this stuff you have to improvise, and try to get a good quality magnifying glass, a glass lens. You're going to want to be able to place it as close to the front element as you can without scratching the front of the lens.
Okay.
And you might be very surprised how close you get.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Danny in Boston, your turn. Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. Hey, I have a question on digital cameras and action shots. We have a lot of, our sons are in a lot of sports, wrestling, baseball, you know, there are a lot of quick action, and all the pictures are usually blurry. What can I do? I mean, is there a setting on my camera that I need to change? What can we do with that?
Is it a point-and-shoot camera?
Yes.
Okay. The standard answer is you can't get there from here. By that I mean that we joked about this. I realize it's a serious thing because everybody wants to do this, but it's the most common question I get in my one-on-one tutorials. How come I can't get a shot of so-and-so, you know, in action with my camera? And then I say, if you look at a sporting event and you look at all the professional photographers, they have single-lens reflex cameras with $3,000 lenses that look like megaphones.
Yes, they do.
And my question is, do you think they would buy that and carry that if they could get the same picture with a camera that they could put in their shirt pocket?
Okay.
Yeah, you're up against the laws of physics. There's not enough light coming through the camera lens to give you a high enough shutter. Now, sooner or later, you will get a good shot. There's several things you can do, and we discussed this on the CD a little bit. If you take the camera off the fully automatic setting and put it on P for program, assuming you have that, pick the highest ISO, the highest rating it can possibly do. That will force it to a higher shutter speed. You might get a little better luck with that. But you've also got a response time thing going on where by the time the shutter fires, the action may be already over.
Right.
And you have to compensate for that by pushing the shutter down halfway, locking in the exposure, and then at the moment of action, firing the shutter.
Okay.
The other thing you can try to do is instead of being perpendicular to the subject running by you, try to get him running towards you or at some angle closer like that.
I've become a pro at that.
Pardon me?
I have become a pro at...
Oh, you're good at that. Right, you figure that one out. That helps
and
a little bit.
And basically,
you just take a lot of shots. Sooner or later, one of them will
hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, great. That helps a lot.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Jack, thank you so much. Boy, it's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot myself, and I know our audience has as well. And again, I'd like to direct people to your website, acpress.com.
Right. And if you have any questions about the CD, it's 800-647-8273. And my wife will thank you because she's by herself right now at home.
800-647-8273 for a copy of that mixed CD. Thanks again, Jack.
All right, thank you, Dal. Right, bye-bye.
Appreciate it very much. Jack Socha of Spring Grove, Minnesota, photography instructor, created a mixed media CD. It's called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And it's a great CD, I can tell you that. And it's very, very useful. And I know a lot of people who called in today with questions could make good use of that CD. And some of the other freeware and so forth that's on his website, acpress.com. Jack Socha. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at prescription eyeglasses with Jim LaLuzerne. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.